Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. Nuclear weapons in the 21st century. An article at the Foreign Affairs magazine, prestigious publication for the men and women who practiced foreign affairs in Washington in and out of administrations, teachers, professors, think tankers, and secretaries of defense, for example. That Foreign Affairs magazine publishes an article by Robert O'Brien, the National Security Advisor for President Trump at the end of his term. Mr. O'Brien is often mentioned as a cabinet member in a potential second Trump term. In it, he says many things about what needs to be done for the defense industry. And on nuclear weapons, he says, not only does the United States need new nuclear weapons, new designs, but also those designs must be tested as well as designed in computer models. We welcome Peter Husey, president of Geostrategic Analysis, and also a fellow at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. Peter, I'm unfamiliar with the language. Computer modeling is one understanding of how you build nuclear weapons. Testing is another understanding. Do we need both? And what are our adversaries doing right now? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Our adversaries in 1999, Russia, decided to build small nuclear weapons and did a lot of very small underground nuclear testing. And Yeltsin's decree was, build me small battlefield nuclear weapons that I can use to fight. And the Chinese followed suit around 2009 and 8 and 9 and 10 during the great financial problem. And then said, we're also going to build a huge nuclear capability. There's a debate in the community. Computers work, but they're not adequate, or they are, or what you get from testing isn't going to be more than you need or give you something definitive. My belief is you need both. And I understand why Mr. O'Brien's doing this is that when you look at the situation is Russia and China, at a minimum, have about 5,000 nuclear weapons in the field ready to go. The United States has less than 2,000. What we're talking about is the U.S. ability to go up by another 1,000 by 2030, 2035. We can't go much beyond that given the force structure we are now building. And therefore, Russia and China, according to Professor Yaw, Chris Yaw of the University of Nebraska, said at a conference on June 20th, Russia and China are going to 10,000 nuclear weapons by 2035. That's the dilemma we find ourselves in. We cannot come anywhere near that level. We're going to be outgunned at least 3-1, maybe more than that. And so Mr. O'Brien and others are trying to look at those areas where we can improve deterrence, make it stronger, make it more credible, which is what testing is about. And that, John, is basically the environment in which we find ourselves. Because we delayed for so many decades doing all this, we are now way behind the power curve on this, and we are basically trying to play catch-up.
Gordon, you have a question for Peter.
Peter, I heard you say that the Russians have tested nuclear weapons recently, and the Chinese, have they done so as well? And if the Russians and Chinese are testing, what is the argument that we shouldn't test?
Here's the argument. The Chinese and Russians do what's called micro-testing, which they assume we can't detect. Now, the disarmament community says that technology is so great that we can even determine micro-testing, meaning at a very small sub-kiloton level. And that's unknown, because the only people that know in the intelligence community aren't really telling us how, and if they can't detect, if you can't detect something, how do you know you can't detect it? Okay, if it's so small you can't hear it or see it, or then you're in trouble. The question is, what are nuclear weapons for? They're for deterrence. our bad guys are going to the theater system, small-scale battlefield-type weapons, which we have long thought was passé and no longer viable. That's what Putin is arguing about in Ukraine. That's what the Chinese are arguing about in Taiwan. They're going to use nuclear weapons in the battlefield at the small level, and they believe we only have 200 theater nuclear weapons in the entire world, all in Europe, all on fighter planes, all gravity bombs. We have nothing in the Pacific. We have nothing in the Middle East. And that is why we have this deficit that the Strategic Posture Commission said is a very deadly issue. And they said, you've got to close that gap. One idea is to put a cruise missile on the Navy submarines and give it a nuclear capability, which we used to have called Tomahawk, but we got rid of them. As I said, we're way behind the power curve on this, and we have a huge gap in the theater systems, and in particularly, we have nothing in the Pacific Ocean.
Mr. O'Brien lays out what could be the policy for a second Trump term. Is there something from the Biden administration that exists right now that we can look to? Do they believe we need testing as well as modeling?
No, they do not believe we need testing at all. They're totally opposed to that. The area that there's a common what's called program of record. It's totally consistent with the New START Arms Control Treaty of 2010. There's one add-on, which is the Navy cruise missile, which Congress supports. They've put it in the budget. They want to create an office in the Pentagon and the Navy that does this. The administration has said they're opposed to it, but they said they won't necessarily, they haven't said they'd veto the defense bill if the money was contained. The problem is, you're talking 6-7 years before you can get that in the field. I don't know if the bad guys are going to wait around. Are there other options? Well, yes, airplane launched type systems, which we could do. But again, John, we are way behind the eight ball because we have 200 theater nuclear weapons. The Russians and the Chinese combined probably have somewhere at a minimum 3,000, and they have them wherever they want to put them. Okay, and we have them just in Europe. And the problem is that the bad guys get to vote, and their view of nuclear weapons is not the same as ours. So we can talk about arms control. We can talk about abolishing nuclear weapons, but we ain't there. And the bad guys are definitely not there. And the North Koreans are coming on board. And then the question is, do the Iranians? And then you've got a real, real problem is how reckless are these people going to be allied with Russia and China as well?
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Peter, what is Chinese nuclear weapons doctrine, and what is Russia's?
Russia's doctrine is to, and the Strategic Posture Commission of last October laid it out, using nuclear weapons for bullying and blackmail to get the other guy to back down so that your aggression can hold. Now, how is that different? It's a huge difference. We think of nuclear weapons, we're going to deter the bad guys from doing bad things like invading Western Europe, North Korea invading South Korea, or China invading Taiwan. The Russians and the Chinese have flipped it on its head and said, no, we're going to commit aggression at the conventional level, and we'll use our nuclear threats to tell you, back off, don't get involved, don't come to the defense of your friends. So nuclear weapons become a tool supporting aggression, not trying to deter it. And that's what this Posture Commission said was the big change, which both Mr. Putin has put into place, and now the Chinese as well. And that's why the Chinese are building such a formidable, rather than having a couple hundred warheads, they're going to have a number of thousands. And that's what they're into, is using nuclear weapons as a tool to make the world safe for aggression.
Peter Husey,
if I may say that.
Peter Husey is the president of Geostrategic Analysis. He's a fellow at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,